You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
I'm Roxanne, and I'm the co-lead for the sophomore girls. Woo. I'm so nervous. I haven't spoken in front of people since I was a senior in high school. That was a long time ago. So anyways, but I'm excited, and yeah, we're just excited to be here with you guys.
Hi there. My name is Ben, and good to see the, thank you for the sophomore guys. Love. I'm one of your sophomore leaders, and Roxanne and I have been a part of Purpose Church now the last 2 years. It's about 2 years and change, and we got a chance to come one Sunday with our kids per an invitation with one of our family friends in the neighborhood, and they said, hey, come visit our church. We were, I was going through a lot of changes in faith and going through a lot of, like, questions I was asking about the Lord and about church, and that one visit was pretty a big change for us. So we're so thankful to be here with you guys, and this is a really exciting time.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so tonight we're going to be talking about how to be generous with your time. So my question for you guys is, how are you really spending your time? You know, we don't really think about it, but God is with us, and he's always watching us. I'm kind of weird, like, odd, and I think things like, I'm peeing and he can see me, and like, that's kind of weird. Or like, when I'm alone and I'm talking to myself and I'm like, oh, he's there. Anybody else? No? Okay. Anyway, all joking aside, when we have those moments where we're by ourselves, like, are we using that time to spend with God? Or in other instances, are we using that time to share and spend with others? At any moment in our day, are we taking the time to center our time back to him? Recently, we moved houses, and we have 4 kids. Our youngest daughter met our neighbors, and they have 3 Dobermans. And she's been wanting to walk with them every single day. Like, that's a lot. And I've been fine with it, but there's a part of my heart that, like, aches a little bit. I'm like, wow, why doesn't she want to be with me that much? And I mean, she's, like, set this internal time clock. Like, she wakes up every morning at, like, 7 because she knows they start at 8. And she just wants to, she sits on our front porch, and she's there at the stairs, and she's just, like, waiting there longingly to spend time with them. And as I had this thought, it just reminded me of, that's just, like, a glimpse of what our Heavenly Father wants for us. He wants our time. In Ephesians 5, 15 through 16, it says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. So tonight, we're going to share 3 key points of what it looks like to be generous with our time. 1, to give your time to God first, to give your time to others, and to share that time with the church, and to make time to be generous with your time. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come to you tonight just so excited to talk about this and just to have the opportunity to speak to all these students and leaders. I'm so grateful that you placed us here, Lord, and I just pray that hearts and minds would be open, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak and that they would take away only your words and leave anything that is not of you, Lord. We pray that this night would be fruitful and just give concrete ways that we can really just direct our time and focus on the things that truly matter. We lift these things up to you. In Jesus' precious and mighty name, amen.
Amen. So we wanted to share these 3 points with you tonight to give your time. And I'm going to be sharing, first of all, on point number 1, how we can give our time to God first. Our first step to wise stewardship with our time is recognizing that our time is, in fact, a gift from God. Our time is his time. And I'm not sure, do we have the fill-in slides by chance, Pastor Claire? We may or may not. Of course. Yeah. So the psalmist understood this when he recognized in Psalm 90, verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may have a heart of wisdom." To number our days means to recognize that there's a limit to the time and their value. And the wisest way to spend that time that God gives us is to have first a dedicated portion for Him. So I want to encourage all of us. We must make praying and reading God's word a non-negotiable priority. So this comes from my first story that I want to share with you guys here about HSM. I didn't grow up, even though I did grow up in the church, I did not grow up with the impression of the priority of reading God's word. Sometimes for me, I saw that more as like, it's kind of a good idea, I should probably do it. But then growing up, it wasn't the priority that I could have made it. And we were going through a summer series last summer on the Psalms. Shout out to Pastor Claire for what a beautiful series that was. And one of the topics for like the deeper discussions was to say, meditating on God's word. And we were in that passage. And we were in small group, and at the time, some of you have seen us here in group, we also bring our kids with us during the vacations when Awanas is not actually in session. So my then 7-year-old son, Jeremiah, is with me. And as we're sharing, one of the boys in our small group, this is 9th grade guys at the time, before now we're 10th grade, but the 9th grade guys were all together, and one of the guys shared a really great story about growing up watching his dad read in his study, having journals, you know, in reflection about scripture. And as he was ending that, we were all very quiet, very serious. And then my 7-year-old says to me, like nudging, "How come I don't see you reading your Bible?" You guys, I felt like a sweat come over me right then and there. It was not a proud moment, but in that opportunity, it provided me this challenge of the type of person that I want to live as and the type of example that I want to share with you all here in HSM, but also the example that I want to model for Jeremiah and the rest of our kids. And I can tell you that from that time, that is something that Roxanne and I have committed to doing together, that in the mornings we can be spending time in God's word, and when the kids are waking up, even if it's like me rushing to open my Bible, like they saw me, I was reading it. That's just a joke, but you know what I'm saying. I'm reading it, right? So it would be that example that there's an increased seriousness, and I'm grateful for the challenge that a 7-year-old gave me at Life Group at HSM, and it was a really, really wonderful opportunity. So I think in that, I encourage all of us, like, we are in this opportunity to do that. There's this world that we live in, right, full of urgent demands, emails, notifications, alerts. And I was kind of not fully in agreement that reading my Bible was a priority. I was seeing it more as a luxury. And I was trying to see how I would fit it in. And to be honest, trying to go through the day, trying to fit it in, makes it harder and harder, I have found. And so I encourage you, if you're presenting yourself with this challenge of reading God's word, start the day with it. Don't end with it or try to find it in the middle of a period between classes. Start your day with it. And it sets a foundation. It sets a tone when it's in prayer. It's like imagining that we receive this priceless gift from someone we love, only to look at it for a couple of rushed minutes, right? Before checking our phone or being distracted with something else. That's how we can treat the time that we have with God. When we prioritize Him in the morning, you're putting yourself in that posture to receive the direction He wants to give you. God wants to give you direction. He wants to give you encouragement. He teaches us also how to be generous as we are absorbing His word. So as we're sitting in the word, He's showing us how to direct our steps, which commitments that we can lean into, which commitments to even consider and drop. And with that, I think he helps us learn to become more generous with our time to one another. In John 15:4, it reads, "Remain in me, as I also will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must first remain in the vine, because you can neither bear fruit unless you are remaining in me." That would lead to our next possible fill-in that would say that God can only speak with us and to us about our time if we can abide and listen.
Right. So when we can abide and listen to him, we can prioritize God and our hearts and our minds get focused on him. So then I think it becomes easier for us to then like focus our time on other people. One of the reasons Claire messaged us and said that she wanted us to speak is because we host Pizza Friday at our house. And it's usually with our community and mostly our neighbors, but we, meaning Ben, often invites people from church and other friends from different communities. And I like laughed a little bit inside because it took me a minute to get my heart in the right posture for this because I tend to look at like our events as like, okay, how much work is this gonna take me? Like how much am I gonna have to clean afterwards? And our neighborhood like comes with a lot of kids. So it's like 10 to 15, sometimes 18 kids in additional to our kids, right? So I'm like, wow, that's like kids coming in and out of the house, like my floor is dirty, like all the things, right? So I thought it was funny, but I it's taken me a minute and like also in the end of the week, I've been with all my people, right? Like I'm with the kids all day, I'm seeing other parents, and then I'm done by Friday. I'm like, okay, I'm good. But like Ben is in therapy all week and he doesn't have like a ton of adult interaction. So he's ready to like turn it on. And if you guys know him, you know he's super social, okay? Like next level. Anyway, all of that just made me think, like, of what Paul says in Colossians 4, 5 through 6. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person. This was such a powerful reminder of community to me. We're not called to focus inward. We're not called to think about our week or how tired we are or how much work we have. Like, those things matter, but we're also really called to, like, walk with others and speak life into them and give time to the people around us. There's been so many Pizza Fridays where I just, like, sit back and look around, and I just feel so much abundance. I could have never done that one without Ben. But also, like, if I hadn't just release that control. Like, I wanted control, and I wanted things to be a certain way, and I needed to listen to God and, like, abide in him. So giving my time to him and letting go of my discomfort, I've allowed so many blessings to, like, flow through our household with those community, like, Friday night pizzas. One of our favorite authors, John Mark Comer, which we love him. If you guys haven't read any of his books, I strongly recommend it. This is what he says about community. Community is not optional for those who follow Jesus, but a vital context for transformation where people can be exposed, encouraged, and healed together. Guys, can you imagine like actually having a community like that? Like what he's saying, those words, it's something that I really hope you desire. I mean, it's gonna make you uncomfortable and it's gonna be vulnerable, but that's so true of like community. And if you don't desire to seek that out, I really double urge you to pray that you can be brave enough to want to spend time with community. And I mean like real, real community, like ugly cry, like, oh my gosh, this is the most embarrassing thing that happened to me. All of those things, like that type of community. Because it's just so important to have that realness with those that you're around all the time. And this leads me to our last villain. Where two or more are gathered, he is there. So we're not just suggesting this in vain. We know that the Lord can do work when we spend time investing in relationships. Conversations are started topics are brought up that maybe we never thought would be brought up with someone because we just gave our time to invest in others. And once we prioritize God, he reorients our focus outwards. The world tells us to protect our time fiercely, but Jesus tells us to invest it freely. Being generous with your time is simply loving your neighbor as yourself. And here's some of the ways that it can look. Not being rushed when you speak with someone. Like, how often do you talk to people, like, half listening, like, thinking of your to-do list, like, glancing, whatever you're doing? And just don't do that. Like, give them your undivided attention. It's, like, rare, and it's a huge, profound act of love. Making yourself available when a friend or family member needs support. That means just setting aside your own to-do list and just sitting with, like, a grieving friend or just someone that needs to talk in a time of worry. Helping out with chores or errands. Sophomore girls, you can totally always help me with that. Just kidding.
Same for the sophomore boys.
Because, you know, you might see someone in need of that. You know, time is spent folding laundry or mowing the lawn. He does this for our neighbor. Dropping off groceries or spending time just imitating Christ. And this is something I struggle with, guys. Like, it's not like I'm suggesting it and I think that I'm perfect or do it well all the time. But I know that it's something I strive for all the time as well. So if we take the time to do these things, maybe not all of them at once, we're going to see real change. And that leads me into giving our time to the church. Serving is simply making yourself available to the mission God has given this community. When we serve, we're making the ultimate statement, I believe that God's kingdom and his work is more important than my convenience. Or like our church mission, everyone everywhere following Jesus. We can find ourselves saying, I don't have time to serve, but I want to encourage you to challenge that thought with another one. We make time for the things that really matter. The question isn't, do we have time? The question is there something that I can personally let go, any pursuit or habit, any distraction, so that I have more time for God and others? If you have time for like Netflix, your favorite shows or whatever, you have time to serve. If you have time for like a 2-hour workout or just like doom scrolling, you have time to serve. When Ben and I were asked to be leaders, we were very, very prayerful when Claire asked us to be leaders, because we thought, like, do we have time, you know? Yeah. We were at our kids would go to Awana's, and we had date night, you know, and we were like, okay, what do we do? But, like, there was a reason why she asked us that, and we knew God was putting that on our hearts and on her hearts for a reason. So our choice to move forward with that has made such a fruitful experience for us. And in reality, many of us can find ways to occupy our time, but are we willing to give up those like instant gratification moments to give our time to something for God's kingdom? So how can we steward that time and generosity at church? A couple of the things that we can do, which a lot of you are doing, is student leadership, which we just all started, and it's been awesome to see you guys jump into that. Children's ministry, which I also see so many of you doing, and I think that's so amazing. Children's choir. Girls, you guys are awesome. And the tech team. Okay, and then think, who do I spend most of my time with? Hopefully your answer includes God, your family, and friends. But it also should include the people that God's placed in your life in the church and who you see on Sunday. It's time to be honest with our priorities.
And that leads us to point number 3. We want to be inviting you with an invitation tonight. Something I do in therapy is I tell people, whatever I'm sharing with you or recommending, I'm wanting you to think about it like, if it's useful to you, use it. If it's not useful, just move it to the side and take what works for you. I think it's valuable to think about asking all of you to be generous with your time, but I think it's equally as important on thinking about how to do that. And so this last section, point number 3, is how can we make time to be generous with our time? We can say, go serve, but we don't have time for it, right? And so I think that's something that's really important to be thinking about here. Now for another story. When Ms. Roxanne and I were asked about this with Pastor Claire, we had set up a coffee date with Pastor Claire, and we were talking and praying, and I share with Roxanne as Pastor Claire was getting parked outside our home, I think we're supposed to tell her, no, we're not supposed to do this. Something to that effect, right? And I was feeling a bit of fear, a bit of anxiety about the idea of another commitment in the constraint of time. And in the conversation, as we were sitting with Pastor Claire, I just felt a Holy Spirit moment saying, you're supposed to serve. And I looked up at Claire with a big, like, wide face, and I said, you don't have to say anything. We're supposed to do this. And I think that started the journey for us as a family of how can you, when you are being generous, build more time. I felt I was still feeling tension in that decision. And in that conversation, Pastor Clara said, hey, meet up with Jeremiah. He's going to be your ninth grade leader. And spending time with you, Jeremiah, for me, was deepening those roots of what it meant to be in service. And I thank you for that inspiration to deepen that conversation. But I was still in that space. Well, how do I do this, though? Really, how do we do it when we have jobs or we have, y'all will have busy high school careers that are preparing you for college or next work that you're going to be doing. So I want to give you some ideas, some recommendations. Like I said, take what works, throw away the rest. One thing that my buddy Dave Martinez likes to do is he showers at night. Not sure if that's helpful for you, but I think it's really smart because he says he runs his business. He runs a business in IT, and by feeling that he showers at night, he feels prepared for when the day gets going, and he runs his kids to classes and school. So take that one for you. We are big proponents of, we shared the literature of John Mark Comer, and he writes the wonderful book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, and he implores the church, get into a Sabbath. Do something where you're restful for 24 hours. Whether that's a Friday, a Saturday, or a Sunday, I encourage you to be thinking about this. We've only been really practicing it as a family for maybe about a year, maybe more or less. But that's like removing ourselves from emails, trying to spend as much time away from phones. If you are working, working on something that brings you joy. Like if you're someone who crafts, if you're someone that is doing art projects, things of that nature that bring you life. That's something that could be really helpful with the Sabbath in terms of that space. I encourage you all, point number three, drink water and get sleep. I know that sounds really silly, being that you all are in high school, but the idea is that so many mental health issues are coming up in my office right now where people are underslept, overworked, and they're not eating well. They're not drinking enough water. And there's this huge impact of what stress does on the body. And so when you're stressed, then it impacts your ability to be generous. So it gets a lot more difficult to share your time with others if you can't really give what you don't actually have. So take care of your body. I also encourage you, do curious things. If you're trying a new instrument or joining a club, that can be a way to stir your curiosity and meet new friends or make new commitments. Here at church, I'm moved by those of you that have already served in missions. What you're doing in that missional space is opening your mind to curious things. And when we are more curious, it also lends us to be more open to serve and be generous with our time. It changes our posture. Keep a list. I think that's a really helpful way. If you guys are any like to check boxes, write in, check the list off. I think that's a really powerful way of writing out what you do. If you have that list, we see that with our eighth grader right now. He's reading from the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens, and keeping a list has been really helpful for him to manage his time and know where he can give more time to others. Number 7, we're in this series here at church, tithing. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, it reads, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. The tithe can help shift your posture. It will change where you prioritize your money. It will also change the way you want to spend your money moving forward. Generosity, I believe, grows through tithing and time. And here's one that's really important, and I see a lot in therapy. Number 8 is reducing our screen time. I work with a lot of people struggling with depression and anxiety right now. And when we're having conversations about suicide, we're having conversations about self-hatred, self-loathing, a lot of times these conversations are leading us back to how much we're in front of our screens or devices. And these are conversations that also come up in our small group discussions. And I just want to encourage each of you, if you're higher than 3.5 hours of daily average on your phone, which would be most of us here, I want to encourage you, get that number under 3 hours. There are people that I'm working with that are in excess of 6 hours, some 8 hours, some 10, some 12. And you would be surprised, the people that are at the 12-hour averages, because they're mostly adults, actually, that I work with that are in that range. But if someone's giving 12 hours to a daily phone average, that's 6 months in 2025. None of us have time. None of us really have time. If we can cut that number from 12 to 6 hours, then that would be, I believe, 3 months of 2025 and so forth, right? We do the math. The more you save, the more it gives back to you. But what I'm seeing for you all is that generosity is coming from the space you give. We encourage you to do that.
Yes. Okay. So as we conclude tonight, we just want you guys to feel encouraged. I know a lot of that stuff can feel daunting and like it's a lot, but I think there's always ways that we can set aside time, and for each of us, that's going to look different. And it's not about like counting the hours and saying like, oh, who's doing this? But it's about the quantity, or not about the quantity, but about the quality that you're doing. So like if you can only give 1 extra hour a week, like just take that and really do it with your intention and like just pray about it and take charge of it. It's the most you can do, and that's okay. And we just know that like deep in our core, our best use of time and stewarding our time wisely can only be done with our Heavenly Father at the forefront of it all. Don't wait for that perfect moment. Like, I tend to be like, oh, that's not right. But it's like, there's never going to be a perfect moment for anybody. And so you just got to like jump in and just take charge of it. Like, it's probably not going to be the best when it first happens, whatever, like maybe just some act that you do for someone else. But like, as time goes on, like those things where you're serving and doing things, it's going to become easier for you each time. So I would consider like some tangible things that you can do is one, like they just mentioned the microsite, the Thanksgiving event that they're having for the microsite on November 16th. Like, that would be a great way to serve. They also always need like extra helpers on days like Snow Day. And that's so fun. Like, it's a way that like you can be there to welcome in the people that are going to be coming to explore on those days where it's like extra fun. So that's a good way to start. Like, it's a one-time commitment and you can do it and you can see how it goes. Or just like being intentional about a friend or a family member once a week, just saying like, hey, I'm going to go take you to coffee. Let's go spend some time together. And you just never know like what will come from those conversations. They may really need it. And you may be the person that like took the time to talk to them and speak to them and really just like give them the space to open up and just be heard. So I think that small steps can make a huge change, and that we just have to like remember that any little thing can really help and be a blessing to others. So, all right, I'm going to pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to lift up tonight with our groups, and I just pray that as we go into our small groups with our peers and our leaders, I just pray that you would just bless that time, that you would just have everyone be open and honest, and just know that it's a space of non-judgment and that everyone is there learning and growing at the same time. And I just pray that it would just be a time of growth and of learning, and just that your Holy Spirit would be present in each moment, Lord. We lift these things up to you in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys.